So I have a question for you, whether you're watching online, hearing this packed auditorium. And the question is simply this: will you accept God's invitation to surrender and align your life with His purpose in 2025? Will you accept God's invitation to surrender your life and align your life with His plan and purpose in 2025? Welcome to our anointing service. And this whole message is going to lead to that moment where we pray over everybody who wants to be prayed over, anoint you with oil, a symbol of inviting the Holy Spirit. For those who are online, you can prepare. I'm going to include you, whether you anoint yourself or as mum and dad, you anoint the rest of the family, whatever way you choose to do it. And we've tried to plan it so we've got people going down to Kids Life, to all the things, so we don't miss anybody. And we've also doing the anointing services. We used to do just one. They now cross the whole day today. Our theme, as you've heard, is going deeper. And our key verse is continue to follow Him, that being Jesus. Let your roots grow down into Him. And let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong. Just love that verse. Following Jesus, putting your roots down deep into Him, building your life on Him, then the blessing flows. Your faith will grow strong. And so we've launched this year with a series of messages, and we're still in it, called Selfless. Because many of our goals at the beginning of the year are self-focused, whether it's losing weight, saving money, buying a house, changing jobs. And there's nothing wrong with those things. God is interested in every single detail of our life. But sometimes we're so focused on what we want, we forget to ask the question, God, what do you want of me? And God can accomplish much more in and through our lives as we deepen our relationship with Him, and then by submitting to Him, denying ourselves and stepping out of the comfort zone into all that God has for us as we seek to serve Him and others. The first message that I preached in the series was about surrender. But today I want to talk about the blessing of surrendering to God, and hence the question that I asked at the beginning. Will you accept God's invitation, an invitation to surrender and align your life with His purpose? E. Stanley Jones said this: if you do not surrender to God, don't think you don't surrender. Everybody surrenders to something. If you do not surrender to God, don't think you don't surrender. Everybody surrenders to something. But God invites us to surrender. He could demand it, but He actually invites us. He won't force you to surrender. He will not beg you either. He simply waits patiently with an invitation: would you yield your life willingly to Him? Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, says this: do not let sin control the way you live. Instead, so there's one way of living, surrendering yourself to what you want and sinful desires. But instead, give yourself completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. Use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. That's a verse just worth thinking about and reflecting on and asking yourself, how am I responding to this teaching, this challenge, this invitation from God that comes through the Apostle Paul? Oswald Chambers said, I must learn that the purpose of my life belongs to God, not me. And often what we do is we make our plans and rush into them and say, God, would you bless this? And it's good to make plans prayerfully and thoughtfully, but it needs to start with, God, I'm surrendering to you. Now guide me in my planning. Guide me in my goals. Guide me in the challenges that I will face as I walk through life. I must learn that the purpose of my life belongs to God and not to me. Just rereading Romans 6 and verse 13 in another translation, it says this: passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to him. As one who has now experienced resurrection life, you live now for his pleasure, ready to be used for his noble purpose. I love that. Passionately answer, respond to God's call. Keep yielding. It's not just a one-off decision today. It's an ongoing thing. Daily, Jesus calls us to not die ourselves and surrender ourselves to him. Keep yielding to him, because you've got new life. You've got the resurrection life of Jesus within you if you've invited him to be your Lord and Savior. And you and I exist for his pleasure, for the glory of God. In the series, we actually talked about that, the whole concept of living your life for the glory of God. Paul says, in everything you do, whatever it is, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all for the glory of God. And the context is the most mundane thing, because he talks about eating and drinking, the thing where we do every day and 3, 4, 5 times a day, I don't know what you do. He says, even you're eating and drinking, you can do to the glory of God. I want to challenge you, we've got a whole lot of rugby union and rugby league players in this church. Tackle to the glory of God. Just thump the other team to the glory of God. Not foul play, I'm not encouraging that. Do all to the glory of God. Just tackle in the name of Jesus, bang. See, there's great power in surrendering to the one who created us, the one who loves us. And a thought that came to me when I was preparing this, and it's a question I'm asking myself at the moment: what blessings from God are we missing out on because we didn't surrender to him? Because we were off trying to get him to bless what we've already planned. And he goes, well, actually, I've got something a little bit different, but God bless this. And we miss out on a blessing because we failed to surrender and put him first in our decision-making. Surrendering to God means stepping out into the unknown and trusting his plan for our life. And therein is the challenge, because sometimes we're anxious about actually trusting God. We kind of know we should, but when it comes to the moment, when it comes to the point of surrender, what's he going to ask me to do? It means letting go of our desires so we can embrace something better. And that can invoke all sorts of fears. And so it's easier to kind of stay in the safe zone where we add God to our lives and ask for his blessing on things. And I would suggest that we don't surrender mainly because we don't trust him fully. And I know that can be a process. This is not a beating you up, you don't trust God. I've understood that, those moments. Do I actually step out and trust God in this situation? And even that I know that he's trustworthy, he's a faithful God. But I want to encourage you, the best reason to trust God is that he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And love does not seek to hurt you. Came across this quote from a lady who blogs a lot, Alicia Bruxfort. And she said, the shape of true love isn't the diamond, it's a cross. We're not talking about jewelry here. Ladies, the diamonds, yes, we know. But the shape of true love isn't a diamond. It's the cross that Jesus died on, for he so loved us. In fact, Paul makes that argument in the book of Romans, where he says, Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. And there's so much more that we could say of his unfailing love for us. But just consider that statement of the Apostle Paul. It doesn't say that Christ proved his love for us when you started getting your act together, but when you'd repented and beaten yourself up for being a sinner. It says while we were still rebels, while we were still lost, while we were still ungodly, and that's a loaded term in the New Testament. It actually means to almost be against God. While we were doing all of that, God said, I love you and I'm going to make a way back for you. Not when you were perfect, not when you were good enough. You see, that's religion, when you try to earn your way back to God. But true Christianity is putting your faith, your trust in Christ, our Heavenly Father, surrendering to the Holy Spirit, because we serve a God who loves us. Corrie ten Boom, many of you may have heard of her, but if you don't, she was an amazing lady. I actually heard her speak, and she survived the Nazi POW camps, went through extraordinary suffering and pain. Her and her family had helped hide Jews trying to escape the horror of what Nazi Germany was doing at that time. Finally got arrested and sent to a POW camp, her and her sister. Parents were killed. Her sister died of illness. And she kept trusting God in all that pain, in all that horror. And she said this: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And that's what I'm talking about when we come to the issue of surrender and experiencing the blessings of surrender. It's actually about surrendering to our God who loves us, who's proved his love for us by sending his own son to die for us when we weren't even interested in him, when we were still rebelling. And I want to give you four things this morning. Could be a much longer list of what changes when we surrender our lives to Christ. Number one, I'd suggest to you that your life becomes an adventure. I'm not talking about every single moment of every single day being an exciting adventure. Like any adventure, great adventures. In all the literary books and that, there's always challenges, there's always difficulties, there's always things to be faced. But your life becomes an incredible adventure. Just consider Abraham in Ur of Chaldees, living a very comfortable life. He's a fairly wealthy man from all we can put together from his life when he was still in Ur of Chaldees. And the Lord said to Abram, hadn't yet changed his name, go from your country, your people, and your father's household. I want you to leave everything that's comfortable for you. Everything that you know, that you can work out. Now, this was a call to Abram, but the principle applies to us. I'm not suggesting every one of you should now plan to leave Australia. All right. It's about, will I respond to this invitation? And he said, I want you to go to a land I will show you. He doesn't even tell him what land it is. And then what follows is, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. I've just shortened that last part of the passage to just focus. I will bless you, but you will also be a blessing. That verse has particular importance to my own life. If you haven't worked out, I come from South Africa. and got saved in 76. Yes, I'm that old. I heard somebody gasp. You could have controlled yourself. Tamai. I was 3 years old. No, I wasn't. Got fully involved. I got radically saved. Fully involved in a church in Johannesburg. Loved serving there. Loved the church. And after about 5 years there, I got incredibly unsettled. And I didn't know why. It was just this feeling. So I said, prayed, Lord, just speak to me. What do you want me to do? And I had a very systematic way of reading through the Bible. And we had bits of wool in. There were 8 sections, I think, or 7 sections you read each day so you could read through the Bible in 1 year. And I opened it up to my first reading. On that day, I prayed that prayer. Lord, I don't know why I'm feeling like this. Speak to me. And it was this verse. And it was like, it wasn't speaking to Abraham, it was speaking to me, Sean. Arise, get thee out of the land, unto a land that I will show you. And I freaked out, to be honest with you. I go, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And so I prayed what I think was a fairly good prayer. Lord, I'd like you to confirm this. So this was on the Friday night, or Friday in my devotional reading. That Saturday, it was unusual not to have anything going on in the life of our church with the young people and all the rest of it. I was still young then. And I was studying the book of Acts, apart from my devotional reading. And again, I went to the thing not actually conscious of what I was about to read, or that even that this verse is repeated. But the Holy Spirit knew. And so I opened my marker in the book of Acts, it's Acts chapter 7. It's the sermon of Stephen. And his opening line is, you know how God spoke to our forefather Abraham, arise and get out of the land to a land that I will show you. And I just said, Lord, I don't know where to go. I don't know how to start this, but I'll do it. I remember that moment. I'll do it. And I got an incredible peace to the point I forgot about. It wasn't an anxiety thing about where to go. I just said, Lord, you need to show me. You need to show me how. 7 months later, God had provided an airfare, a reason for going to New Zealand from which he delivered me. I'm really making friends today. But I was on my way and they rejected me. There was a reason for me to go there. And when there was a mix-up in the application, and it's just too long to talk about now. And they advised, because we were dealing with the British consulate, New Zealand didn't have full representation in South Africa. They said, why don't you get an Australian visa? Because the time change is so difficult to have this discussion and work it out from Sydney. So my pastor, who was in this journey, we drove to Pretoria, where the Australian embassy was. And I was given an Australian visa in 20 minutes. And the normal wait time was 6 weeks. And next minute on the plane, starting an adventure. I didn't know anybody in Australia. I had a contact of a friend's friend. There were no mobile phones. I was given his number. I tried to phone him. He was out doing a wedding. And I walked around Sydney Airport, like I think of it now, it was crazy, 22 years of age, having no idea where to go. Walked up to an information counter for thing, and I said, I need a cheap place to stay. I ended up in King's Cross. And that was a shock to the system, let me tell you. I was exhausted. It was a Saturday I'd landed. I slept through Sunday morning and then tried to phone this guy. I said, I want to come to church. I thought I was going to be in Australia for a few days. sorting out this visa to a country that had rejected me. That morning, I phoned him and they said, look, I'm miles from you, but there's a good church down the road, Christian Life Centre, and I've been going to all of that. But that morning in my devotion, I opened my Bible, and again, not being aware exactly what I was reading, and it was in the book of Ruth, where Boaz says to Ruth, it has been fully shown me how you've left father and mother and come to a strange land, and I will bless you in this land. And I started arguing with God. I said, you've got the wrong country. And I was anxious, but it's about surrendering. Long story short, Metapasti said, I'm going to organise, because they said you can't apply for another 3 months. I'm thinking, what am I going to do in Australia? But I had accommodation. I'd met Linda on the second day in church during worship. She was playing the piano. I thought, check that chick out. And 11 months later, after she pursued me relentlessly, we were married. But on the day I was going to the New Zealand embassy, I opened that promise from Ruth and I started arguing with God. A few days later, I was playing squash. I used to be able to do that. And I was reasonable. I wasn't good, but I was reasonable. And the person I was playing with was a beginner. And so I was kind of hitting the ball so he could stay in the game. And I hit the ball down the centre of the court, moved to the side where I anticipated he was going to hit the ball. He took the wildest swipe, came off the wood of the racket back in those days, and it hit my left ear full on, perforated my eardrum in 5 places. And everything was roaring. I could see people talking, but the noise in my head from the impact of this, because I'm still arguing with God. I'm not surrendering to the promise in this land. And as clear as I've ever heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, he quoted to me out of the book of Hebrews, you've become dull of hearing. Literally. You're just not listening, Sean. And I just repented. I said, I'll do whatever you want. I went to the doctor, it was identified the perforation. 2 days later, a pastor prayed for me, instantly healed, confirmed by the doctor. I'm just talking about an adventure when you surrender to God. Hebrews 11 verse 8 in the message says, by an act of faith, Abram said, yes, maybe not that enthusiastically initially, to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. And when he left, he had no idea where he was going. God doesn't always give you the details. He says, will you trust me because I love you? I've got good stuff for you. The second thing, and I'll just move on this quickly, is your heart becomes peaceful. We live in a very troubled world, and the Bible constantly portrays that following Jesus will include challenges, difficulties. It's not a guarantee of a problem-free life. In fact, in John 16 and verse 33, he says, I told you all this so that trusting me, you would be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart. I've conquered the world. Just think about Elijah, the prophet of God, confronted the prophets of Baal, slaughtered them, had an incredible revival. All Israel says the Lord is God, except Jezebel. And frightened and exhausted emotionally and otherwise, he flees for his life down into a wilderness and into a cave. He loses his peace. And God comes to meet with him. And the Lord says to him, get out of the cave. I'm paraphrasing here. Go stand on the mountain where the cave is. And my presence is going to pass by. Go stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. Can I just say, in God's presence, he heard a whisper in his wilderness that changed everything. Say that again. In God's presence, he heard a whisper in the wilderness that changed everything. And we can read the account, this great wind that tears the mountain apart, shattering rocks. The Lord's not in the wind. And then there's an earthquake, loud noise, terrifying, ground shaking. The Lord's not in that. And then a fire passed by, and the Lord wasn't in the fire. But after the fire came a gentle whisper. You see, God invites us to surrender. And all the power demonstration of what went before him, that was not the way God spoke to him. It was in a gentle whisper. And that whisper in his wilderness brought him to a place of surrender. God just says, Elijah, what are you doing here? I've still got stuff for you to do. I just want you to trust me. Surrender to me again. The third thing that happens is, firstly, we said your life becomes an adventure. Your heart becomes more peaceful. But your life becomes a miracle. And again, we're not talking about every moment of every single day. Miracle, miracle, miracle. Ephesians 3:20 says this: never doubt God's almighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. But to step into that, there's a battle that rages within us. And the most significant battle that we face, dare I say, it's not against the devil. It's not against the world. It's actually against our own will. That's the biggest battle in our life. Not diminishing what can happen with those others, not giving any glory to the enemy. But he's not the biggest battle you'll face. The biggest battle you'll face is the battle with your own will. Will I yield my will to God's will? Mary is extraordinary in this, absolutely extraordinary. An angel appears to her and announces God's plan. She's a young lady. And the entire story of redemption hinges on this young lady saying yes or no to God. Just think of that. Mary, will you? And like us, she has a few questions. God, I don't understand how this is going to happen. I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to accomplish this. And the angel answers her. It's part of our reason for bringing this up in the anointing service. The Holy Spirit will come on you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That word overshadow is the same term that's used in the Old Testament about the Shekinah glory of God dwelling and filling something. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And then the promise goes, and no word from God, no promise from God will fail. And I really want to encourage each and every one of us with this thought. God's promises to us are not empty. Rather, they are all filled with his power. God's promises are filled with God's power. And we struggle sometimes when we're pressing in for an answer, claiming a promise. But I just want to encourage us, don't give up. God's promises are filled with God's power. Therefore, nothing is impossible to God. And the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation, of saying yes to Jesus. And so right now in this moment, we're going to give that opportunity. You could have been brought here by a friend. You could have come yourself. You could have looked us online. You may be watching online and you can know God speaking to your heart, whether here in the auditorium or online as you're watching this. And the biggest decision you have to make, will I say yes to Jesus? And it's handing your life over to him and receiving all that he's accomplished for you to make you right with God. He died on the cross in our place for our sin. It was our punishment he took. And he rose again so he could become a living savior to each and every one of us. The fourth thing that happens when you surrender, you encounter the Holy Spirit in a fresh and a new way. Andrew Murray, you can look him up, with an astonishing pastor, leader, author from Scotland who spent much of his life ministering in South Africa. His own story is amazing. I knew people who knew him. And he said this, being filled with the Spirit is simply this. Having my whole nature yield to his power. And when the whole soul is yielded to the Holy Spirit, God himself will fill it. I just love the power of what he says there, the simplicity. Surrender is often thought of in a negative way, but not with God. When I yield, when you yield and surrender, God by his Spirit fills you afresh and anew. And it's not just a one-off thing, because there's an ongoing challenge to surrender. I want us to look just very quickly at Jesus' baptism. Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. He says, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. We must carry out. John was baptizing people who were repenting as sinners. And he goes, Jesus, you don't need to do that. And Jesus says, no, my Father requires it. My Father requires it. So John baptized him. Can I just point out there very quickly, in that moment, two people were surrendering. Jesus didn't need to be baptized, but he surrendered to what his Father asked him to do. John was hesitant, but he surrendered to what Jesus asked him to do. It's a beautiful moment of mutual surrender. And after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. In the moment of surrender, in the moment of obedience, yes, by John, but also by Jesus to his own Father, the Holy Spirit comes.